access number 12417, reel 4.
Major Watson, reel 4.
Yeah, the Germans just started to come in from the direction of Breville in quite a large force, using the gliders as for cover. There was a fall of platoon, which reported back to battalion quarters to say there was movement, and there seemed to be troops, German troops, forming up for an attack. And moving towards, it seemed to be facing towards where we were. This is at the early hours of the morning, at about 7:30. The CO called for artillery support, and although we shelled an area, they still started to come forward. I think the uncanny thing about it was that there was no counter-shelling at the time to support this advance of the Germans towards the Rombourg area. Peter Lord was watching this, and Peter Lord, my battalion commander, was watching the movement of these German troops, and he gave that wonderful order: "Don't shoot until you see the whites of their eyes." And as I said before, it was completely uncanny. It seemed that they were either desperate to do something, and with no support, artillery support or mortar support or machine gun support, they came on towards the 13th Battalion area. And they got within 50 yards of the battalion there when Peterloo gave the order to fire, and it was horrific. Men were being shot right, left and centre, and still coming forward. Eventually they more or less gave up, and we took about 200 prisoners. And a lot of them retreated into an area of a wood to the east. So we decided to counterattack, and this was done by the C Company of the 13th, alongside with the 7th Battalion, who also were watching what was going on, and they drove them in. They got to the wood and fed the whole lot out. And in fact, I think that the whole of that group were captured. It was a most unusual way of. It was a desperation attack.
Do you think they were badly commanded?
Obviously badly commanded. In fact, I was talking to the IO later, after this battle, and with one or two of the German officers, who'd interrogated the officers which were captured. In fact, they said they didn't know we were there. They were so well dug in. They thought there was nobody there. And that's why they came in and trusted what I call a rabble. But to me, it seemed I was, in fact, my company wasn't involved because we were on the south side, but it was really C Company and B Company who took the brunt of the attack. But I happened to be at battalion quarters at the time and was watching this with my company, my command officer, Peter Lewart. It was a most unusual action by the enemy. So that really was the only attack made by the Germans, by the enemy, during our stay at Romville. It was, as I said before, a sheer desperation. More or less told, probably by the officers in charge, that something's got to happen, we've got to get them out of Romville, but they didn't do very well.
What impression did you get of the German prisoners?
Well, they were pleased to think that it was all over.
Right.
It really, from now on, we were very much in a defensive situation. Things were going on. There was difficulties with Kahn. And really, what we were doing then was just simply doing a holding job as a division, purely to make sure that no interference was going to be made from the east. From the area of the River Seine, and from that time until August, we either rested or then relieved other units. In fact, what happened was later on we went up to a place called the Menel, which is on the high ground, going east of Romville, where we relieved the Canadians. They were part of the 1st Canadians, which were part of 3 Brigade, because in 3 Brigade they had the 8th and 9th Battalions and one Canadian battalion. In fact, they were the only para-battalion Canadians working in a British unit. And there we sat at the middle in an area of the brickworks, purely doing a defensive a job. A lot of active patrolling went on. We were shelled quite a lot, mortared quite a lot. But really it was to sit there and just deny any movement of anybody trying to come back into the divisional area. And then we spent some time there, and then we were relieved again, came back into the Romville area for a rest. And this went on until August. So it was very much a patrolling and holding area. I think one of our worst enemies was mosquitoes. In fact, we lost quite a lot of men through mosquito bites.
Why should you have lost men?
Well, because what happened was the Germans had flooded the area around the River Dee, it came a bed of for breeding mosquitoes.
But it wasn't malaria.
No, I think because people got bitten so much, people had their eyes blown up, couldn't even see. We had this anti-mosquito cream, but it seemed to me they used to live off it. I'm not quite which was worse, either being shelled or being bitten by mosquitoes. We use all sorts of things, smoke in the trenches, covering ourselves with nets and so on. They were a bloody nuisance. I'll show you later a map to give you where the flooded area was in the area of the divisional area.
Did the Normans themselves seem to be glad to be liberated?
When you consider what we did to the area, demolishing a lot of houses and making roads through where they shouldn't, where houses used to be, I think. They were delighted to see us. Because they're very close to us in many ways, aren't they? As far as that part of France is concerned.
So you didn't come across any who were hostile?
No, none at all. Not one. And this is borne out since that day by the welcome we get every year when we go on the annual pilgrimage to Normandy. Obviously things were going well towards Caen had been taken, things were breaking out there. So in August we then carried out what we call the breakout towards the River Seine. The Germans were starting to pull out. But nevertheless, we still had resistance in various points where they were obviously wanted a hold so they could actually evacuate as much of their equipment as they could. And we then moved by foot or by transport towards the Seine. And during that time of moving towards the Seine, obviously, we had one or two strong battles. The first one was a place called Putain-Arge, where the brigade were given the task to capture this village. And the high ground on the east side of the village, which was really dominating the accident advanced by the division. And the 13th Battalion were told to attack, take Puteaux, but because of the flooded area, we couldn't make the ground which we attempted to go through to Puteaux. So the brigadier decided to change the order, and the 7th Battalion passed through us. The 7th and 12th actually did eventually capture Puteaux. We then followed.
Is that P-U-T?
Yeah.
P-U-X?
P-U-T-O-T, Puteaux.
You were going to give another spell?
The village was spelled P-U-T-O-T hyphen on E-N hyphen A-U-G-E. As I said before, the 7th Battalion and 12th Battalion passed through us and actually got into Putain-Arge. We then followed, we were then given fresh orders to attack the high ground, which was east of Putain, and it was called Hill 13. We call it Hill 13 because of the 13th Battalion. And it was imperative that this hill was captured so that it would deny the enemy to interfere with the advance of the rest brigade along the Axel advance towards the Seine. We then retracked, as I said, through the 12th and 7th Battalion already in Pieutau, and then formed up to the foot of this hill with A Company on the right, B Company on the left, and C Company in reserve. We then attacked the hill, and practically reached the top when we were then strongly attacked by the Germans. In fact, what we didn't know that they'd seen us moving towards that area, decided to reinforce the whole of that hill. B Company took suffered quite a lot of casualties, including the company commander, Major Tarrant, was mortally wounded. One of his platoon commanders were killed, and quite a number of men were captured. A Company to the right attempted to support them, but was driven back. C Company also moved up from reserve to support both A and B, but again were driven back. Although we secured most of the hill, we decided that it was too strongly held, so we decided to just withdraw to a point just below the hill, and then we held that ground. It was then decided the commandos, which were behind us and in support, would go in later. And eventually they did drive they eventually did secure that Hill 13. I think by that time the Germans then decided to withdraw.
When was this?
This was on the 18th of August. It was pretty bloody bad at the time. In fact, when you go, if we were killed, actually, if we go to the very when we go to Norman, it was a very bloody battle. Well, eventually, as I said, the hill was eventually captured, and then we then started to move forward around about the 20th of August to capture a town called Pont-l'Evêque.
Pont-l'Evêque?
Yes. Same as we spelled for cheeses.
Yes.
We were the leading battalion, and eventually, when we arrived at Pont-l'Evêque, we got into the town, but in the centre there's two rivers joining each other. and the Germans had blown the bridges, but we managed to get across by a girder. The Germans had set light to the town, which was burning fiercely when we were there. In fact, we called for armour support, but the armour couldn't give us any support because the town was burning. They couldn't get in. And anyway, there was no bridge for them to cross. The situation became very difficult because, despite the fact we knew that there was a withdrawal process going on by the Germans, they seemed to fight like hell for every area they wanted to stem the advance of us, aiming to get towards the Seine. Eventually, it got extremely difficult and difficult to hold, and it was with the brigadier decided then to withdraw from that part of the town onto the other side of the river and hold the ground, which we did. And eventually, during the night, one of the villagers came forward and said, or the following morning, came forward and said that they'd withdrawn from the town. The brigadier then ordered the 7th Battalion to pass through us and cross and get into the town. And then we went to in the 12th Battalion. We then became the Reserve Battalion. And then we passed through Pont-l'Evêque. Although there were quite a number of my battalion killed on that operation, it was said by the villagers some 140 Germans had been killed and they'd taken them with them when they evacuated the village or the town. Then it seemed to me that they were pulling up very, very fast. From then onwards, we started to move very fast by transport and by foot. And our last objective was a place called Pont-Audemer.
Where?
Pont-Audemer, which is near the Seine. And this we took quite quickly. And it was then decided that was when our battle, as far as the division was concerned, was over. In fact, I was told that we actually got into another divisional area of another battalion, obviously a division which had run alongside us, which we didn't know, south. It was then decided that we achieved our objective. We got to where we had to go to, and we were withdrawn to back to near Honfleur, that way, Honfleur, where we had a well-earned rest. And then we then were told we were going back to England. During that period, from Romville to the breakout, we were reinforced by men from the holding unit. Most of the men came from the South Staffordshire Regiment, the North Staffordshires. And lot of them decided they wanted to come back with us and volunteer for parachuting to stay with the battalion. Some decided not to come back, and they went and then transferred back to the holding units where they came from, or another holding unit. So that was the end of our task, as far as the division was concerned. And as far as I was concerned, as far as the battalion was concerned.
What was morale like by the end of the Normandy?
It was absolutely a cock-a-hoop. They were delighted the fact we were going to be withdrawn to go back to England to retrain, build up again to our wartime strength, our battalion strength.
What had been your attitude towards the enemy in Normandy? Did you hate them or respect them or what?
Well, they were our enemy, and it was either you or me, and I was damn sure it wasn't going to be me, and I'm sure that was the attitude of the rest of my men and the rest of the battalion.
So was there any hatred in it?
I don't see any hatred, but they were obviously the enemy. They were the people we had to drive out of France. And that was what they were there to do. I think everybody we actually captured and brought in were relieved the fact that their war was over. Nevertheless, one was relieved the fact that we had come this far and still alive, able to go back and rejoin our families again.
How much was air superiority important to you in Normandy?
Sorry?
How much was air superiority important to you in Normandy?
Well, it was a comfort to know that we weren't, in fact, I can't remember at all seen any German aircraft do any damage to us. It was we dominated the air. The only thing that we were upset about was seeing the buzz bombs going over the top of us towards England. That's what worried us. In many cases, we were delighted to see some take off and go back again in the opposite direction, which we cheered like mad, that the buzz bomb had decided to turn around and go back from where it came from. That caused a lot of cheering and flag waving.